the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Today we will have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, as always, and Jody Jackson. Jody, it's week one of Cardinal preseason football, and the Diamondbacks are back home after turning the roster kind of upside down. Jody will be with us in about 10 minutes, and then we will have John Wilner. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Had a fabulous weekend. It finally hit me. I'm within 70 days of walking one of my daughters down the aisle. And so when I'm trying to focus on sports and Father of the Bride comes on with Steve Martin, and then Father of the Bride 2 comes on, I'm sitting here in my office just kind of flipping around in between commercial breaks. And it's, oh, I probably should watch this. I should probably try to learn something. Now I'm all messed up. Now it's just like, oh my gosh, what if this happens? What if that happens? But it's the beauty of life. It is the beauty of life. I was texting with Sean Purdy this morning, Brock Purdy's dad. And he sends me a picture of their, he's now a grandfather like me. And life only gets better. Now he has a superstar that is a week or two old, I guess, her name. I mean, I don't know her name, but I was so happy for him. So stuff kind of gets in the way. And then it's this time of year where I'm supposed to get excited about preseason NFL football, and I don't. It's this time of year where the trade deadline has come and gone in Major League Baseball, and the team in town is given up for dead. And I'm not sure that should be the case. With wild cards, anything's possible. You just go on a 4 or 5 game win streak and some things happen, you're right back in it. Doesn't mean it's going to happen with this team. And then this is Camp Tonizona week for Arizona State football. So we will go up to Camp T. I will tell you that if you've never been to Camp T, if you've never done the Camp Tonizona experience, it's not that difficult to get to. I've heard from people, oh, it's too far away. It's this, have you ever been? No, it's not that far away. It takes about an hour and 40 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. And if you are a big college football fan, if you're just a football fan, doesn't matter if you're an NFL guy, college guy, high school guy, take your son, do a you're too well to attend school day today. I'm going to give you some parent advice. Hey, son, dad, why are you picking me up? Am I in trouble? No, it's second period math. You're too well to attend school today. We're going to go to Camp T to watch Arizona State. And the kid will remember that forever. And it's not that difficult. You go up to Payson, you go on 260, turn there, you go about 20, 25 miles. It's on your right, right after you pass Cole's Lodge. And there it is, a football field in the middle of the forest. And it is one of the, I think if you're really covering sports or into sports, you want to go to like a Super Bowl. You want to go to like the Kentucky Derby, the Daytona 500, a World Series game. I would put the Camp Tonizona experience as one of those that if you go, if you haven't been, you're going to say, I didn't go to ASU. I don't care. That's not the point. It's just the fact that there's a football field in the middle of the forest and there's springs around there. There's Pat Tillman Rock that you walk out to. And this is where Pat Tillman used to jump in the stream. I asked my youngest son who's back this year. He left college at Colorado State. He's back here. And I said, hey, Wednesday, you want to go up to Camp T? So it's, and he and I have memories up there. We had to be rescued because I was a dope. We took our shoes off and went in the creek and then walked to the other side. And we got onto a trail and he was stepping on needles and pine needles and all that stuff. And anyways, I did not win Father of the Year that day. So it's fun. And it's one of those memorable experiences. And they're going to be good. So you get to see Sam Levitt up close. You can see a Heisman Trophy candidate. Jordan Tyson will probably be a first day NFL draft pick next year. And they're all going to be right there. It's cool. There's all sorts of old Sun Devils that show up. If U of A had something as cool as this, I would be talking about it. They don't. It's not a swipe. It's just, this is as unique as anything I've seen when it comes to training camps. And the dorms are not nice. It's not like it's this beautiful palatial Four Seasons that they're staying at. And yes, there are skunks and bears. I think it's cool. A lot of these kids have never been in the forest before. So these players are trying to bond, and that's what it's all about. So that is this week too. Up next, Jody Jackson. Jody and I will talk about the Cardinals, their preseason opener, her expectations, what she's looking for. And she will be in the dugout tonight on the television side with the Diamondbacks. They meet the Padres, all these new faces. What is she looking forward to on that front? And then John Wilner and I talk college football as we do every week. The great John Wilner, nationally syndicated columnist. The 0 week games are less than 20 days away. We'll talk with John about those. That is all straight ahead. Jody Jackson with us, brought to you by the good people at Rockin' Protein, Shamrock Farms. We do appreciate their support. It's always great to have Jay with us. A week of Diamondbacks back home with a bunch of new faces. But let's start with the Cardinals. What are you expecting Saturday night to look like in terms of football out of the Arizona Cardinals, Jonathan Gannon, year three?
Yeah, I mean, Brad, that's the big question, right? Is that, year three, the expectations ratchet up inside that building. I know that's what they want. They want to build on some good things for sure last year. I think for me, because we all know that preseason football, I guess I could say it isn't what it used to be, although it never really used to be.
Never was.
Yeah, I mean, I was part of the broadcast for so many years, so I always kind of built it up. But I do know one thing I've heard, and I'm not sure if they've talked about it that much openly, but it seems like the theory will be, hey, let's get a Kyler Murray, a Marvin Harrison out there for a play or two. I feel like that's something that, guys do need it, and it seems meaningless, right? You say, well, if you're not really gonna be out there for a series, even or anything, what does it mean? But there is something about just going through the motions of getting out on that field. And so I think it's hard to judge offense when you are, not really going, not really putting an offense out there for multiple series. So I think the defense is the focus. And I think we already saw it in the red and white scrimmage. I mean, a guy like Will Johnson and what he could be able to do on the back end. Brad, I was out at practice early last week and he just looks different. I mean, he's a big body, right? And that's something that when you get speed combined with a big body out there, because the Cardinals, as well as a lot of NFL teams, you see in the back end, the DBs, a lot of times you're trading size for speed. You got to have speed there, or you really have no chance. He seems to combine both of those things. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this mix looks like, because I think that despite some injuries, they still have some capable guys back there. I mean, you've still got Jalen Thompson, Budda Baker, you got Max Melton, Garrett Williams, and now Will Johnson, and the depth will be tested with Ketrell Clark and on and on. And then up front, they have a lot of big bodies up front, and Dalvin Tomlinson kind of leading the way. But you've still got guys like, for example, Adante Stills, who's playing well. So I think they're going to go deep in the rotation. Calais Campbell will be in there as well. And I think, I don't know, again, I don't really know what playing time's going to look like. I know they're going to talk about that more heading into this week, but I'm looking for the defense to really bring a lot of excitement, because while the offense, I think, again, if they don't take a step forward, it's going to be really disappointing, because I mean, that's what you expect now that Marvin Harrison's in season two, is that you want to see that connection. Trey McBride's an absolute beast, and James Conner and now Trey Benson are supposed to elevate. But I think it's a little bit harder to judge the offense when you can't get into a rhythm in the preseason.
I feel like that the way the NFL has gone and seeing this league for almost 40 years now, it's the preseason used to mean something. It doesn't mean anything. It's a war of attrition. You've got to have guys healthy. And now that has spilled into the regular season where the first few weeks of September games, there's a, how did that happen? How is it that that team? And then, of course, around November, a team that looks like they're dead in the water suddenly becomes alive. They're healthy because they haven't been beat up all year. And I'm not saying that for the Cardinals, because the history of Michael has shown that this ownership has shown that if you don't start winning by year three, then there's usually an expectation of looking around by year four. That's the average lifespan of a Cardinal coach outside of Bruce Arians, Ken Wisnant, is about 3 years. That's how it goes.
Yeah, I do think that Jonathan Gannon and Monty Austin-Fort and kind of just what they've done, and I know they haven't, you know, done anything as far as getting to the playoffs yet, but I think just the process that they go about, I think everyone's been impressed with inside and outside of the building. So I don't know if that gets them more time than the window that you just mentioned or something.
It should. It should.
It should. It really should, because that is something that, you know, we see it so much in college now where there's really no consistency. It doesn't help anyone a lot of the time. Once you're sure you have that right guy and the guys around him, and, you know, that goes down to, you know, Dave Sears and you know, Nick Rawlis, Drew Petzing, that's the core group, right? I'm just naming a couple names, but we all know it's a large group of people involved in the football operations. If you're sure you have the right people, then let that develop, let that bloom, because you're right. It should mean something, because guys need time to be able to build with their players. And I think that they have that now, but what does it guarantee? It doesn't guarantee winning in year one or two of finally having the group that you want. But I think that what I've seen, I've been impressed with. We'll see what it turns into as far as wins and losses, because it always goes back to the quarterback, right? Yeah, it goes back to, you know, in those moments. And I thought Drew Petzing said it well. I tweeted a comment that he made when he met the media. It was very simple. Like, what's going to be the difference? And one of the things, he said two things, like the effort, everybody knows that it's, you know, that's a given. And the other one was finishing. And I have said from day one, it is always about finishing for this offense in particular, but the defense as well. Finishing games, that's what it's all about in the NFL. And you're right, in September, how many times do we look and see and say, even for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, I'm not talking about the preseason game coming up, but I'm talking about games 1, 2, 3, you're thinking, what is going on, right? Like, why do these teams look like they haven't done anything in the offseason? And that's just the way that it is, because reps in live action are hard to come by, and they do happen in real time in week 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. Are you going to be at the ballpark for the Diamondbacks?
Yes.
Padres? Okay. You are walking into story after story after story now with all these new faces and all that. I'd read where Alec Thomas said that Mike Hazen came in and spoke to the team. They take 2 of 3 from Oakland, or from Sacramento, Las Vegas, whatever the A's.
apparently it's West Sacramento.
West Sacramento.
No disrespect to East Sacramento, which...
Here, the Central Phoenix team is playing tonight. So anyways, how do you go about it tonight? Who do you think is the most important storyline for you to focus in on? Because you have Brandon Pfaadt pitching, who was not good at all in any way, shape, or form his last outing. And the team is sitting here just dead in the water on August 4th. But I'm not one to say that this is how it's going to look on August 20th. That's just me, because I've seen sports enough. What about you?
That's the part of me that, you know, is wondering, right? What is this team going to do? And especially with the Padres rolling in, the Padres are playing great baseball. They have an amazing bullpen. AJ Preller did crazy AJ Preller things again at the deadline, bringing in Mason Miller, bringing in some offensive pieces at the bottom of the lineup. So I want to see this team bring the intensity. And I think that even though, you know, Steve Berthume and Tom Candiotti, you know, they had Mike Hazen in the booth. Todd Walsh did a lot of interviews with these guys, but I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to revisit with Tyler Locklear, who's going to be at his first game at Chase Field. You know, I think he's a really interesting guy, because he's a guy that they're banking on. You know, I'm not going to sit here and compare him to Christian Walker, but again, Christian Walker sort of came out of nowhere to be a great first baseman for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Could Tyler Locklear be in that realm? Could he be a guy that develops into a player? Again, not trying to pigeonhole him into any one guy. It's not going to be Josh Naylor. Josh Naylor is gone now. And I don't know that they, you know, again, all bets are off in the offseason. But, you know, I'm looking at Tyler Locklear. I'm looking at the guys that have been here that are continuing to get chances. You know, the Blaze Alexanders, because Jordan Lawler and Ildemar, you know, Ildemar Vargas is a veteran. I think he can help you win games, but he's still hurt anyway. Lawler's the one that everyone wants to see. Yep. He's still hurt. He's close. So we aren't going to see him quite yet. But it is going to be, you know, and then the guys that you really rely on, you still have Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, Geraldo Perdomo. You know, how are they going? These were all players that were part of a World Series run. And I thought it's interesting, Alec, what he said. And it didn't surprise me at all that Mike Hazen was there. We actually talked to him on Thursday when he was en route to the airport. So he's talking to us on the call while you can hear the gate agent, you know, saying it's time to board or whatever. But it's his responsibility and he feels that and he's accountable to it. And I think that he wanted to address a lot of things with the team. I think the one thing that resonated with me that Alex said was that to let us know that we're how important we are. And I guess that's because, you know, and it seems obvious, right? We know these guys are important and we know the three that, I mean, Carroll, Perdomo, Marte, but it's not just those three that are important. They're all important. They're all guys, you know, they got to the World Series before Eugenio Suarez and before Josh Naylor and before Shelby Miller. Mm-hmm. Not before Merrill Kelly. We know that. Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen being awesome was a huge part of why they had all that success. But I think it's important. Those guys, it was very cool that Mike Hazen wanted to let them know, hey, this is your team. You're important. This isn't just play out the last 2 months and then we're going to revamp. You can be the next, you know, and a lot of them are part of the core still, but the next wave of Diamondback greatness can come from within this room, you know, and what we see from that in the next 2 months is really going to be important going forward. It isn't going to be just show up at Salt River Fields in February. Right. Let's see it right now. And I think that that's really important. This is a team that's still, you know, I think, again, the biggest hole for me is just, again, the pitching and the bullpen. Because they've proven that they can win when the offense, the best offense in the league didn't end up getting them anywhere. So, you know, it's still tough to go out there without the pitching, but I think that the Padres coming in, I want to see a lot of intensity. I want to see, I know it's a Monday through Wednesday series when school is back, but hopefully we see an energy out there from the players that has a vibe of like, hey, we want to show them what we've got. You never know what can happen. If we are forced as a Diamondbacks fan base to choose between the Padres or the Dodgers, I mean, no one wants that, right? No one wants to root for either of those teams, right? So let's just go in and try to, you know, they still have games left against both these teams, and let's just go in and try to beat them every time.
All right, I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
There is Jody Jackson, brought to you by Shamrock Farms, Rock and Protein. We appreciate their support. Back with more after this timeout. John Wilner, fresh from vacation, looks relaxed because now the sprint begins. We're 19 days away, partner. And by the way, Wilner Hotline, a big part of Sports 360 AZ. John Wilner, nationally syndicated columnist. Always good to have him on board. Iowa State, Kansas State, and Ireland. 19 days away, John. Are you as geeked up for it as I am?
You didn't want to mention Stanford against Hawaii?
No.
Okay.
No. I can do my U of A Hawaii homework later.
All right. Yeah, I think it's great that they're playing this game in Ireland, right? It's an important Big 12 conference game. And it's great that they've taken it overseas. It's part of Brett Yormark's bigger plan to have Big 12 games in a whole bunch of different sports internationally. He thinks that there's a market for that. It would help the conference's brand. And this should be great. It'll be very, you know, both teams could be contending for the Big 12 championship. It's probably the marquee game of week zero, you know, quote unquote week zero, that last Saturday in August before Labor Day weekend. Last year we had, I think it was Florida State, Boston College, which was a big upset in Ireland.
Yep.
So yeah, I can't wait. It feels like it's been, you know, 8 months since the season ended, but it also doesn't, because there's been so much news this summer and over the course of the spring, the off season. There's no breaks whatsoever. So I'm looking forward to on field competition.
You're not looking forward to Fresno State, Kansas? I mean, are you really that dialed in, John Wilner? That I know you're going to watch Hawaii, Stanford. But are you going to do the triple where it's Iowa State, Kansas State in the morning, the afternoon is Fresno State, Kansas, and your nightcap is Hawaii, Stanford? John, that is nine, almost 10 hours of football. You're doing
Yeah,
it?
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be watching all three games, no doubt about that. I'm curious about whether Kansas is going to rebound from last season's kind of roller coaster. And Stanford's just very interesting with Frank Reich as the interim head coach, as they are in this weird phase here under GM Andrew Luck. And are they going to be any better than they've been the last couple of years? Fresno State to me is also interesting because of the kind of the downturn they've had. And this is an important season for them to get positioned to be in the new Pac-12 a year from now.
You know, the thing about, you mentioned Stanford. If we're talking about storylines, Stanford would have to be one of those. It's not going to drive the traffic of the Southeast Conference. I get it. But it is really interesting that Andrew Luck is there. And who's going to be the coach after Frank Reich leaves? You know, you go just what is it, 90 miles maybe over to Sacramento State. Sacramento State has Jaden Rashada. Yeah, Sun Devil fans, that's where he ended up. All of a sudden, Sacramento State is wanting to be this power in both football and basketball. I heard Mike Bibby from the Valley,
Yes.
basketball coach. Those two stories are really interesting right out of the gate to me.
They are. Sacramento State has made more news than any FCS program I can remember in terms of trying to elevate their stature, right? They petitioned to get into the FBS as an independent, and that was rejected. They're still trying. They hired Bibby in basketball. Brennan Marion, their new football coach, was the offensive coordinator at UNLV the past couple seasons when they had such good years, and he is a very well-regarded young coach with a dynamic offense. And I think Rashada could thrive under Marion. Rashada is just, he's kind of the poster child for this era of the transfer portal. I think he has been with as many schools as he has thrown touchdown passes, right? He's thrown four touchdown passes. He was signed with Florida, was with ASU, was with Georgia, and now is at Sac State. And obviously, he and his handlers are not the easiest folks for coaches to deal with, and their standards are very high for him to get playing time. Maybe this is the right level for him at this point in his, career arc. If he does well, he's not going to stay at Sac State, right? He's going to try to get back up into the power conferences.
Sure.
But he is a fascinating case study given where he was as a senior in high school.
Yeah, it's the roadmap. It's when I talk to people about, oh, my kid's got to get noticed and this and that, and their high school parents. And I call most of them crazy because they're crazy. But Cam Ward, just go look at Cam Ward's journey and
Yep.
get back to me a little bit later on how that journey went. Over in basketball, look at Damian Lillard's journey and how that went.
Yep.
And now Dame is what? The GM of Boise State basketball. Like
Yes.
back to Sac State. Shaquille O'Neal is the general manager of Sacramento State Hoops. Who had that on their bingo card? That's crazy, John.
It is. This is all. I believe Steph Curry's doing the same thing at Davidson, right? This is all about getting big name, either alums or folks with close ties to your program to help recruit these kids and to work the salary cap, negotiate deals, serve as branding agents for your program, right? I mean, Mike Bibby and Shaq for Sac State. I mean, yeah, who could ever imagine, 4 years ago that the situation would be like it is? We're going to continue to see this, though, both on the football side and on the men's basketball side, and eventually women's basketball too, I'm sure. And baseball. I mean, Aaron Judge, those guys are going to start to lend their names to college programs.
But it's like, will it ever roll at Sacramento State? Like, will things ever roll? Like the SEC, I don't think the West Coast will ever catch up to the SEC because it's been going this way for so long in terms of passion and energy and enthusiasm. Do I think Sacramento, first of all, do I think Mike Bibby and Shaquille O'Neal are going to beat Sacramento State? They'll be there about as long as Jaden Rashada. Come on. Who's
Yeah.
kidding who here? But I guess it's the, can you attract to the West Coast, like the Stanford job, the Stanford gig? You can have Andrew Luck there all day long. It's going to take a certain special person to get people into Stanford. It's not as easy as Sacramento State.
No, for sure. Each place has got its unique challenges, right? I'm with you about Bibby. Is he willing to go through the grind of what you need to do on a day-to-day basis to elevate that program? And I mean, Marion knows what it takes on the football side to lift Sacramento State. I just don't know that somebody like Mike Bibby kind of understands that, right? I mean, we saw Doug Gottlieb, the media personality with Wisconsin Green Bay, and it was a disaster. He was trying to be the coach and have his radio show, and year one was terrible. So I don't know if it's going to work. Luck is at his alma mater. He's not the head coach. He is working hard and trying to elevate Stanford's NIL game and engage other parts of the university to help support football. We'll see about that. They're facing a ton of challenges, obviously, in the ACC. It is not all of the former pros are the same, and not all the college situations are the same. But in most cases, it's easy to see the hurdles being insurmountable in a lot of instances.
Do you find Belichick to be the most interesting story coming into this college season? I'm kind of worn down on it, but the amount of media attention that North Carolina is getting, and she, by the way, I don't see her anymore. It's like the PR people got in and said, yeah, you're out.
Yeah.
What do you make out of Belichick coming into this season? You interested in that storyline?
I am interested in it for sure. A lot of the reason I'm interested is because running a college program now with the revenue sharing and the salary cap is so much closer to running an NFL program. I'm actually a little bit more interested in Deion Sanders, given his the revelation last week that, you know, he had his bladder removed and is now cancer free, thank goodness. But how is he going to manage this season given his health situation? To me, that is also a big story on the coaching front. And the other one, in addition to Belichick and Sanders, to be honest, the SEC has got about 8 coaches on the hot seat. I mean, the scalding seat. And the big reason that that is interesting to me is the ripple effect that terminations in the SEC could have across the country all the way to the West Coast. You know, for instance, Florida needs a coach. There's certainly a few folks. Florida State, which is not in the SEC, but, you know, Southeastern region. You know, we know that there's a certain coach in Tempe that has ties to Florida State. Right. Ripple effect of a mass termination in the SEC in come November, I think could be very, very interesting.
That is John Wilner. He joins us every week. John, thanks.
Thanks very much, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout.